restaurant. Not really, just going to my mother's house for the week. You?
I'm doing some volunteer work at this shelter, actually. I don't really like to go back to Ohio. I have a few cousins and aunts, but since my mother passed, there isn't much there for me.
He explains. Oh, Trevor, I'm sorry about your mother, but that's very kind of you to volunteer. I smile sympathetically and take the last piece of my ravioli into my mouth. It tastes as good as the first bite, but this revelation about Trevor makes me enjoy the food a little less, while making me appreciate the dinner even more. Is that strange? We talk for a while longer and enjoy an amazing flourless chocolate cake with a caramel topping for dessert. Afterward, when the waitress brings our check, Trevor pulls out his wallet.
You aren't one of those women who demands to pay half of the bill, are you?
He teases. Ha, I laugh. Maybe if we were at McDonald's. He chuckles but doesn't say anything. Hardin would have made some stupid, sarcastic remark about how my comment had set feminism back 50 years. Seeing that a light rain-snow mix has resumed, Trevor tells me to wait inside while he calls a cab, which is very considerate of him. A few moments later, he waves at me through the glass, and I rush to get inside the warm cab.
So what made you want to get into publishing?
He asks as we head back to the hotel. Well, I love to read. It's all I do. It's the only thing that interests me, so it was just a natural career choice for me. I would love to become an author sometime in the future, but for now, I love what I get to do at Vance, I tell him. He smiles.
That's the same with me in accounting. Nothing else interests me either. I've known from a young age that I would do something with numbers.
I despise math, but I just smile as he continues to talk about it. So, do you like to read? I ask when he finishes and we pull up at the hotel.
Yeah, sort of. Mostly nonfiction.
Oh, why? I can't help but ask. He shrugs.
I just don't really care for fiction.
He hops out of the cab and holds a hand out for me. How can you not? I ask and take his hand to get out. The best thing about reading is to escape from your life, to be able to live hundreds or even thousands of different lives. Nonfiction doesn't have that power. It doesn't change you the way fiction does.
Change you?
He raises his brow. Yes, change you. If you aren't affected somehow, even in the slightest bit, you aren't reading the right book. As we pass through the lobby, I look at the great artwork on the walls. I would like to think that every novel I've read has become a part of me, created who I am, in a sense.
You're very passionate.
He laughs. Yeah, I guess I am, I say. Hardin would agree with me. We would carry on this conversation for hours, possibly even days. We ride the elevator in relative silence, and when we step off, Trevor walks a half step behind me down the hall. I'm exhausted and ready to go to sleep, even though it's only 9. Trevor smiles when we reach the door to my room.
I had an amazing time with you tonight. Thank you for dining with me.
Thank you for the invitation, I smile back.
I really enjoy spending time with you. We have a lot in common. I would love to see you again.
He waits for my response, then clarifies.
Outside of the work setting.
Yeah, I would like that, I say. He takes a step toward me, and I freeze. His hand reaches up and rests on my hip, and he leans into me. I don't really think this is the right time, I squeak. His cheeks flame in embarrassment, and I feel terribly guilty for declining his advance.
Oh, I understand. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have.
He stutters. No, it's okay. I'm just not ready for that, I explain, and he smiles.
I understand. I'll let you go now. Good night, Tessa.
He says and walks away. As soon as I enter my room, I let out a deep breath that I hadn't realized I was holding in. I step out of my shoes, debating whether or not to undress or just lie down. I'm tired, so tired. I decide to lie down while deciding, and within minutes, I'm out. The entire next day with Kimberly flies by, and we do more gossiping than shopping.
How was your night last night? She asks me.
The woman filing my nails perks her head up nosily, and I smile at her. It was nice. Hardin and I went to dinner, I say, and Kimberly gasps.
Pardon?
Trevor. I meant Trevor. I would smack myself in the forehead if I weren't getting a manicure. Kimberly teases me, and I roll my eyes. After our manicures, we find a department store. We look at a lot of different shoes, and I see some stuff I like, but nothing I really want to buy. Kimberly buys several tops with an enthusiasm that tells me she really likes shopping. As we pass by the men's department, she pulls a navy button-up shirt off the rack and says, "I think I'll get Christian a shirt as well. It's fun because he hates when I spend money on him." "Doesn't he, you know, have a lot?" I ask, hoping not to sound too nosy.
"Oh yes, shitloads. But I like to pay for myself when we go out. I'm not with him for his money," she says proudly.
I'm glad that I met Kimberly. Aside from Landon, she's my only friend now, and I've never really had a lot of female friends, so this is a little new for me. Despite that, when Christian calls and arranges for the car to pick us up, I'm glad. I've had an amazing time here in Seattle, but it's been a horrible time as well. I sleep the entire drive back home and have them drop me back off at the motel. To my surprise, my car is there, parked where it had been before. I pay for two more nights and text my mother to tell her I'm sick and that I suspect it's food poisoning. She doesn't respond, so I turn on the television after getting into my pajamas. There is nothing, literally nothing, on, and I would rather read anyway. I grab my car keys and go out to the car to get my bag. When I open my car door, something black catches my eye. An e-reader? I pick it up and pull the small post-it note off the top. "Happy birthday, Harden," it reads. My heart swells, then tightens. I never liked the idea of portable reading devices. I prefer to hold a book in my hands. But after the conference this weekend, my opinion has slightly changed. Besides, it'll make it easier to carry around submissions for work without having to waste all that paper printing them out. Still, I grab Harden's copy of Wuthering Heights off the floorboard and go back to my motel room. When I turn the device on, I immediately smile, then sob. On the home screen, there is a tab named Tess, and when I tap it with my finger, a long list of every novel Harden and I have discussed, bickered over, or even laughed about appears. Chapter 22. Tessa. When I finally wake up, it's 2 p.m. I can't remember the last time I slept past 11, let alone later than lunch, but I forgive myself by taking into account that I stayed up until 4 reading and browsing through Harden's wonderful gift. It is so thoughtful. Too thoughtful. The best gift I've ever received. Grabbing my phone off the nightstand, I check my missed calls. 2 from my mother, 1 from Landon. A few happy birthday messages clog my inbox, including one from Noah. I've never been that into birthdays, but I don't exactly love the idea of being alone today either. Well, I won't be alone. Catherine Earnshaw and Elizabeth Bennett are much better company than my mother. I order a crapload of Chinese food and stay in my pajamas the entire day. My mother is irate when I call her and tell her that I'm sick. I can tell that she doesn't believe me, but honestly, I don't care. It's my birthday and I can do whatever I choose to do. And if what I choose to do is lie in bed with takeout and my new toy, then that's what I'll do. My fingers try to pull up Harden's number a few times, but I stop them. No matter how wonderful his present was, he still slept with Molly. Whenever I think he couldn't possibly hurt me worse, he does. I begin to think about my dinner with Trevor on Saturday. Trevor, who is so nice and so charming. He says what he means and he gives me compliments. He doesn't yell at me or annoy me. He has never lied to me. I never have to guess what he is thinking or how he's feeling. He's smart, educated, successful, and he volunteers at shelters on holidays. He's so perfect compared to Harden. The problem is that I shouldn't be comparing him to Harden. Trevor is a little boring, yes, and we don't share the same passion for novels that Harden and I do, but we also don't share a damaged past. The most infuriating thing about Harden is that I actually love his personality, rudeness and all. He's funny, witty, and can be so sweet when he wants to be. This gift is messing with my head. I need to remember what he has done to me. All the lies, the secrets, and most of all, the times he's fucked Molly. I text Landon back to thank him, and within seconds he responds asking for the address of my hotel. I want to tell him not to drive all the way here, but I also don't want to spend the remainder of my day completely alone. I don't get dressed, but I do slip on a bra under my shirt and read some more, waiting for Landon to arrive. An hour later, he knocks at the door, and when I open it, his familiar warm smile makes me smile in return, and he pulls me into his arms.
"Happy birthday, Tessa,"
he says into my hair. "Thank you," I say, and hug him tighter. He lets me go and sits at the desk chair.
"Do you feel any older?"
"No. Well, yes. I feel like I've aged 10 years in the last week." He gives me a small smile, but doesn't say anything. "I ordered takeout. There's plenty left if you want some," I offer. Turning, he grabs the white styrofoam container and a plastic fork from the desk.
"Thanks. So is this what you're doing all day?"
he teases. "Sure is," I laugh and sit cross-legged on the bed. As he chews, Landon looks past me and raises a brow.
"You got an e-reader? I thought you hated them."
"Well, I did, but now I kind of love them." I pick up the device and admire it. Thousands of books right at my fingertips. What could be better? I smile and tilt my head to the side.
"Well, nothing says happy birthday like buying yourself a gift,"
he says with his mouth full of rice. "Actually, Harden got it for me. He left it in my car."
"Oh, that was nice of him,"
he says with a peculiar tone. "Yes, very. He even put all these wonderful novels on there, and..." I stop myself.
"So what do you think about it?"
he asks. It confuses me even more. He does these incredibly kind things sometimes, but he does the most hurtful things at the same time. He smiles and waggles the fork while he says,
"Well, he does love you. Unfortunately, love doesn't always go hand in hand with common sense."
I sigh. He doesn't know what love is. I start scrolling through the list of romantic novels and note that common sense is not something usually seen in any of these stories.
"He came to talk to me yesterday,"
he says, causing me to drop my gift onto the mattress. "What?"
"Yeah, I know. It surprised me too. He came looking for me, his dad, or even my mother,"
he says, and I shake my head. "Why?"
"To ask for help."
Worry builds inside of me. Help? With what? Is he okay?
"Yeah. Well, no. He asked for help with you. He was completely distraught, Tessa. I mean, he came to his father's house, of all places."
"What did he say?" I can't picture Harden knocking on Ken's door to ask for relationship advice.
"That he loves you. That he wants me to help him persuade you to give him another chance. I wanted you to know. I don't want to keep things from you."
I don't know what to say. I can't believe he came to you. To anyone, really.
"As much as I hate to admit it, he isn't the same Harden Scott that he was when I first met him. He even joked about hugging me."
He laughs. I can't help but join him. He did not. I don't know how I feel about any of this, but that thought is definitely funny. When I stop laughing, I look at Landon and dare to ask, "Do you really believe that he loves me?"
"Yes, I do. I don't know if I think you should forgive him, but if there's one thing I'm certain of, it's that he does love you."
It's just that he lied to me, made me a joke. Even after he told me he loved me, he still went and told them all what happened between us. Then, as soon as I begin to think I could possibly consider trying to move past that, he sleeps with Molly. Tears prick my eyes, and I grab the water bottle on the nightstand and take a drink in an attempt to distract myself.
"He didn't sleep with her."
I look over at him. "Yes, he did. He told me he did." Landon puts the food container down and shakes his head.
"He just said that to hurt you. I know that's not much better, but you two are both known to fight fire with fire."
Looking at Landon, the first thing I think is that Harden is good. He even has his stepbrother believing his lies. The second thing I think is, but what if Harden didn't actually sleep with Molly? Absent that, could I move toward forgiving him? I had my mind made up that I never would, but I can't seem to shake that boy. As if the universe is mocking me, my phone lights up with a message from Trevor that says, "Happy birthday, beautiful." I send him a quick thanks, then say to Landon, "I need more time. I don't know what to think." He nods.
"Fair enough. So what are you doing for Christmas?"
"This." I gesture to the empty takeout box and e-reader. He grabs the remote.
You aren't going to go home?
This is more of a home than my mother's house, I say, and try not to think about how pathetic I am.
You can't just stay in a hotel alone on Christmas, Tessa. You should come to our place. I think my mother got you a few things before, you know.
My life went down the drain? I half laugh, and he nods playfully. Actually, I was thinking that since Harden is leaving tomorrow, I would stay at the apartment, just until I get into the dorms, which hopefully will be before he returns. If not, then I can always come back to this lovely abode. I can't help but joke about how ridiculous of a situation I'm in right now.
Yeah, you should do that,
Landon says, with his eyes focused on the television. You think? What if he shows up or something? He still doesn't take his eyes from the screen, but agrees.
He'll be in London, right?
Yeah, you're right. My name is on the lease, after all. Landon and I watch television and talk about Dakota leaving for New York. He's considering transferring to NYU next year if she decides to stay out there. I'm happy for him, but I don't want him to leave Washington. Not that I tell him that, of course. Landon stays until 9, and after he leaves, I curl onto the bed and read until I fall asleep. The next morning, I get ready for my return to the apartment. I can't believe I'm actually going back there, but I don't have many options. I don't want to take advantage of Landon. I definitely don't want to go to my mother's, and I'll run out of money if I stay here. I feel guilty for not going to my mother's, but I don't want to listen to her snide comments all week. I still may go there for Christmas, but not today. I have 5 days to decide. Once my hair is curled and my makeup is done, I put on a long-sleeved white shirt and dark jeans. I want to stay in my pajamas, but I need to go to the store to get some food for the next few days. If I eat whatever food Harden has in the apartment, he'll know I was there. I pack my few belongings in my bags and hurry to my car, which, to my surprise, has been vacuumed and smells faintly of mint. Harden. It starts to snow as I make my way to the grocery store. I buy enough food to last me until I decide what I want to do on Christmas. As I wait in line to check out, my mind wanders to what Harden would have gotten me for Christmas. My birthday gift was so thoughtful. Who knows what he'd have come up with? I hope it would be something simple, not expensive.
Are you going to move up?
A woman's voice barks from behind me. When I look up, the cashier is waiting impatiently with a scowl on her face. I didn't notice the line moving or disappearing in front of me. Sorry, I mumble, placing my groceries on the belt. My heart begins to race as I pull into the parking lot of the apartment. What if he hasn't left yet? It's only noon. I look frantically around the lot, and his car is gone. He probably drove himself to the airport and left his car there. Or Molly drove him. My subconscious doesn't know when to shut up. Once I determine that he isn't here, I park and grab the groceries. The snow is coming down harder and covers the cars around me in a thin layer. At least I'll be in the warm apartment soon. When I reach the door, I take one last breath before unlocking the door and stepping inside. I really love this place. It's so perfect for us. For him, or me, separately. When I open the cabinets and fridge, I'm surprised to find them stocked full of food. Harden must have gone shopping in the last few days. I shove the food that I bought wherever it will fit and head back down to get my belongings. I can't stop thinking about what Landon said. I'm floored by the fact that Harden would go to anyone for advice, and that Landon professed to think Harden loves me, a fact that I've known but buried and locked away for fear it would give me hope. If I allow myself to admit that he loves me, it will only make all of this worse. As soon as I get back into the apartment, I lock the door and put my bags in the room. I take out most of my clothes and hang them up so they won't be too wrinkled, but using the closet that was intended for Harden and me only makes the knife inside of me twist once again. He only has a few pairs of black jeans hung up on the left side. I have to force myself not to hang up his t-shirts. They are always slightly wrinkled, although somehow he still manages to look perfect. My eyes travel to the black dress shirt hanging sloppily in the corner, the shirt he wore to the wedding. I hastily finish my task and walk away from the closet. I make myself some macaroni on the stove and turn on the television. I turn the volume up so that I can hear an old episode of Friends that I have seen at least 20 times and go into the kitchen. I speak along with the characters as I load the dishwasher. I hope Harden hasn't noticed, but I can't stand to have dishes in the sink. I light a candle and wipe off the counters.
Before I know it, I'm sweeping the floor, vacuuming the couch, and making the bed. Once the entire apartment is clean, I do a load of my laundry and fold the clothes hardened and left in the dryer. Today is actually the most peaceful and calm day that I've had in the last week. That is, until I hear a set of voices and watch in slow motion as the lock turns. Shit. He's here again. Why does he always show up at the apartment when I'm there? Hopefully it's just that he gave an extra key to one of his friends to check on the place. Maybe it's Zed with a girl? Anyone but Harden. Please let it be anyone but Harden. A woman I've never seen before steps through the doorway, but I somehow instantly know who she is. The similarities are undeniable, and she is beautiful.
"Wow, Harden, this flat is beautiful," she says, her accent just as thick as her son's.
This is not happening. I'm going to look like a complete psychopath in front of Harden's mom, with my food in the cabinets, my clothes in the washer, and the entire apartment cleaned from top to bottom. I stand completely frozen and panicked as she looks up at me.
"Oh my goodness! You must be Tessa!" She smiles and rushes over to me.
As Harden steps through the doorway, he cocks his head to the side and drops her floral print luggage from his hands. The surprise on his face is beyond evident. I tear my eyes from him and focus on the woman coming toward me with open arms.
"I was so disappointed when Harden said you'd be out of town this week," she gushes and wraps her arms around me. "What a cheeky boy, fibbing just to try and surprise me."
"What?" She puts her hands on my shoulders and pulls me to look at her.
"Oh, you are so lovely. Look at you," she squeals and hugs me again.
I stay silent and hug her once more. Harden looks terrified and extremely caught off guard. Join the club. Chapter 23. Tessa. As his mother hugs me for the fourth time, Harden finally mumbles,
"Mum, let's give her a little space. She's a bit shy."
"You're right, and I'm sorry, Tessa. I'm just so happy to finally meet you. Harden has told me so much about you," she says warmly.
I feel my cheeks flame as she steps back and nods in acknowledgement. I'm surprised she even knows that I exist. I would have figured he would have kept me a secret, as usual. "It's okay," I manage to say through my horror. Mrs. Daniels smiles brightly and looks over at her son, who says,
"Mum, why don't you grab a drink of water in the kitchen for a minute?"
When she leaves, Harden comes over to me with gentle movements.
"Can I, talk to you in the bedroom for a moment?
He stammers. I nod and glance toward the kitchen before following him into the bedroom that we once shared. "What the hell?" I say quietly as I close the door. Harden winces and sits on the bed.
"I know. I'm sorry. I couldn't tell her what happened. I couldn't tell her what I did. Are you here, you know, to stay?"
His voice holds more hope than I can bear. "No."
"Oh."
I sigh and run my fingers through my hair, a habit I picked up from Harden, I suspect. "Well, what am I supposed to do?" I ask him.
"I don't know,"
he says with a long sigh.
"I don't expect you to go along with it or anything. I just need a little time to tell her."
"I didn't know you would be here either. I thought you were going to London."
"I changed my mind. I didn't want to go without—"
He trails off, and pain is evident in his eyes. "Is there a reason why you didn't tell her that we aren't together? I don't know if I want to hear his answer."
"She was just so happy that I found someone. I don't want to ruin that for her."
I recall Ken telling me that he never thought Harden was capable of being in a relationship, and he was right. However, I do not want to ruin Harden's mother's time here. I certainly don't say what I say next for his sake. "Okay, you can tell her whenever you are ready. Just don't tell her about the bet." I look down, thinking that his mom knowing the details of how her son ruined his first and only love would surely hurt her.
"Really? You're okay with her thinking we're together?"
He sounds more surprised than he should be. When I nod, he lets out a deep breath.
"Thank you. I thought for sure you'd call me out right in front of her."
"I wouldn't do that," I say, and mean it. No matter how angry I have ever been at Harden, I wouldn't damage his relationship with his mother. I'll just finish my laundry then go. I thought you weren't going to be here, so I figured I'd stay here instead of that motel. I shrug uncomfortably. We've been in the bedroom a little too long.
You don't have anywhere to go?
I could go to my mother's, I just really don't want to, I admit. The motel isn't bad, just a little expensive. This is the most civil conversation Hardin and I have had in the past week.
I know you won't agree to stay here, but I could give you some money.
I can tell he's afraid of my reaction to his offer. I don't need your money.
I know, I just thought I would offer.
He stares at the floor. We better go back out there, I sigh, and open the door.
I'll be out in a second,
he says softly. I don't like the idea of going out there to face his mother alone, but I can't stay in the small space of this bedroom with Hardin. I take a deep breath and leave the room. When I enter the kitchen, she looks over at me from where she stands at the sink. He isn't upset with me, is he? I didn't mean to crowd you. Her voice is so sweet, a total contrast to her son's. Oh no, of course not. He was just going over a few things about this week, I lie. I've always been a terrible liar, so I usually avoid it at all costs. Okay, good. I know how moody he can be. She smiles with such warmth that I can't help but smile back. I pour my own glass of water to calm my nerves, and she begins to speak as I take a sip. I still can't wrap my head around how beautiful you are. He told me you were the most beautiful girl he's ever seen, but I thought he was exaggerating. Less gracefully than the most beautiful girl a boy's ever seen would do, I spit my water back into my glass. Hardin said what? I want to ask her to verify that, but instead I just take another sip of water to mask my embarrassing reaction. She laughs.
Honestly, I thought you would be covered in tattoos and have green hair or something.
No, no tattoos for me. Or green hair, I laugh, and feel my shoulders begin to relax.
You're an English major like Hardin, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Ma'am? Call me Trish.
I actually have an internship at Vance Publishing, so my class schedule is kind of weird, and right now we're on break.
Vance? As in Christian Vance?
She asks. I nod.
Oh, I haven't seen Christian in at least 10 years.
She looks down at the glass of water in my hands.
Hardin and I actually lived with him for a year after Ken... Well, never mind. Hardin doesn't like when I spout off at the mouth.
She chuckles nervously. I didn't know that Hardin and his mother stayed with Mr. Vance, but I knew that he was very close with him. Closer than he would be if Christian were only his father's friend. I know about Ken, I say to Trish in an attempt to ease her discomfort, but then I immediately worry that I've implied I know about what happened to her, and I worry I've upset her. So when she replies,
"You do?"
I try to hedge a little and follow up with, "Yeah, Hardin has told me." But when Hardin appears in the kitchen, I stop, and I have to admit I'm happy for the intrusion. He raises a brow.
Hardin has told you what?
My tension goes through the roof, but to my surprise, his mother covers, saying, "Nothing, son, just some girl talk," and walking over to him and wrapping her arm around his waist. He pulls away slightly, as if out of instinct. She frowns, but I get the feeling this is a normal interaction between them. The dryer beeps, and I take that as my cue to exit the room and finish up my laundry so I can get out of here. Fast. I pull my warm clothes from the dryer and sit on the floor in the small laundry room to fold them. Hardin's mother is so sweet, and I find myself wishing that I could have met her under different circumstances. I don't feel anger toward Hardin. I've been angry long enough. I feel sadness and a longing for what we could have been. After I'm done with my clothes, I go to the bedroom to repack my bags. I wish I hadn't hung any clothes in the closet or put food in the kitchen.
Do you need some help, dear? Trish asks me.
I was just getting my things ready to go to my mother's for the week, I reply, figuring I might as well just go there since the motel is expensive.
You're leaving today? Right now?
She frowns. Yeah, I told her I would come for Christmas. For once, I want Hardin to come into the room to help me talk my way out of this.
Oh, I was hoping you would stay at least a night. Who knows when I'll be able to see you again. And I would love to get to know the young woman whom my son has fallen in love with.
And suddenly, something in me wants to make this woman happy. I don't know if it's because of my mistake about saying I knew about Ken and her, or because of the way she covered for me in front of Hardin, but I do know I don't want to overthink this. So I silence my inner voice and just nod and say, "Okay. Really? You'll stay? Just one night, then you can go to your mom's house. You don't want to be driving through that snow anyway." She wraps her arms around me and hugs me for the fifth time today. At least she'll be here to be a buffer between Harden and me. We can't fight if she's here. Well, I won't fight, at least. I know this is probably, certainly, the worst idea, but Trish is hard to say no to, just like her son. "Well, I'm going to take a quick shower. I had a long flight." She smiles broadly and heads out. I sink down onto the bed and close my eyes. This is going to be the most awkward, painful 24 hours of my life. No matter what I do, I always seem to end up back where I started, with him. After a few minutes, I open my eyes to find Harden standing in front of the closet with his back to me.
"Sorry, I didn't mean to bother you,"
he says when he turns back around. I sit up. He is being so strange, apologizing every other word.
"I see that you cleaned the apartment,"
he says softly. "Yeah, I couldn't help it." I smile, and so does he. "Harden, I told your mom that I would stay tonight. Only tonight. But if that's not okay, I'll go. I just felt bad because she's so nice, and I couldn't say no, but if that makes you uncomfortable..."
"Tessa, it's fine,"
he says quickly. But then his voice shakes when he adds,
"I want you to stay."
I don't know what to say, and I don't understand this strange turn of events. I want to thank him for the present, but there is just too much going on inside of my head.
"Did you have a nice birthday yesterday?"
he asks. "Oh, yeah. Landon came by."
"Oh."
But then we hear his mother in the living room and he moves to go. He stops before walking through the door and turns to me.
"I don't know how I'm supposed to act."
I sigh. Me either. At that, he nods and we both get up to join his mother in the other room. Chapter 24. Tessa. When Harden and I enter the living room, his mother is sitting on the couch with her wet hair pulled into a bun. She looks so young for her age. So stunning.
"We should rent some movies and I'll make dinner for all of us," she exclaims.
"Don't you miss my cooking, dumpling?" Harden rolls his eyes and shrugs.
"Sure. Best cook ever."
This couldn't possibly be more awkward.
"Hey, I'm not that bad," she laughs. "And I think you just talked yourself into being chef tonight."
I shift uncomfortably, unsure how to behave around Harden unless we're together or fighting. This is an odd place for us, though I suddenly realize this is a pattern of ours. Karen and Ken had been under the impression that we were dating before we actually were.
"Can you cook, Tessa?" Trish asks, breaking my thoughts. "Or is it Harden, too?"
We both do. Maybe more preparing than cooking, really," I answer.
"I'm glad to hear that you're taking care of my boy, and this apartment is so nice, too. I suspect Tessa does the cleaning," she teases.
I'm not taking care of her boy, since that's what he's missing out on for hurting me the way he did.
"Yeah, he's a slob," I answer.
Harden looks down at me with a small smile playing on his lips.
"I'm not a slob. She's just too clean."
I roll my eyes. "He's a slob," Trish and I say in unison.
"Are we going to watch a movie or pick on me all night?"
Harden is pouting. I sit down before Harden does so I don't have to make the uncomfortable decision about where to sit. I can see him eyeing the couch and me, silently deciding what to do. After a moment, he sits right next to me, so I feel the familiar heat from his proximity.
"What do you want to watch?" his mother asks us.
"It doesn't matter,"
Harden replies. "You can choose." I try to soften his answer. She smiles at me before choosing 50 First Dates, a movie I'm sure Harden will hate. And right on cue, Harden groans as it begins.
"This movie is old as shit."
"Shh," I say, and he huffs but stays quiet. I catch him staring at me several times while Trish and I laugh and sigh along with the movie. I'm actually enjoying myself, and for a few moments I almost forget everything that has happened between Harden and me. It's hard not to lean into Harden, not to touch his hands, not to move his hair when it falls onto his forehead.
"I'm hungry,"
he mumbles when the movie ends. Why don't you and Tessa cook since I had such a long flight? Trish smiles.
You're really milking this long flight thing, aren't you?
He says to her. She nods with a wry smile that I've seen on Harden's face a few times. I can cook. It's okay, I offer and stand up. I walk into the kitchen and lean against the counter. I grip the edges of the marble countertop harder than necessary, trying to catch my breath. I don't know how long I can do this. Pretend that Harden didn't destroy everything. Pretend that I love him. I do love him. I am miserably in love with him. The problem is not my lack of feelings toward this moody, egotistical boy. The problem is that I've given him so many chances, always dismissing the hateful things that he says and does. But this time, it's too much. Harden, be a gentleman and help her, I hear Trish say, and I rush over to the freezer to pretend like I wasn't having a mini breakdown.
Can I help?
His voice carries through the small kitchen. Okay, I answer.
Popsicles?
He asks, and I look at the object in my hands. I had meant to grab chicken, but I was distracted. Yeah, everyone likes popsicles, right? I say, and he smiles, revealing those evil dimples of his. I can do this. I can be around Harden. I can be nice to him and we can get along. You should make that chicken pasta that you made for me, I suggest. His green eyes focus on me.
That's what you want to eat?
Yes, if it's not too much trouble.
Of course not.
You're being so weird today, I whisper so our house guest doesn't hear.
No, I'm not.
He shrugs and steps toward me. My heart begins to race as he leans in. As I move to step away, he grabs the door to the freezer and pulls it open. I thought he was going to kiss me. What the hell is wrong with me? We cook dinner in almost complete silence, neither of us knowing what to say. My eyes watching him the entire time, the way his long fingers curl around the base of the knife to chop the chicken and the vegetables, the way he closes his eyes when the steam from the boiling water hits his face, the way his tongue swipes the corners of his mouth when he tastes the sauce. I know that observing him like this isn't conducive to being impartial or healthy in any way, but I can't help it. I'll set the table while you tell your mom it's ready, I say when it's finally done.
What? I'll just call her.
No, that's rude. Just go get her, I say. He rolls his eyes but obeys anyway, only to return seconds later alone.
She's asleep,
he tells me. I heard him, but I still ask, what?
Yeah, she's passed out on the couch. Should I just wake her up?
No, she had a long day. I'll put some food away for her so whenever she gets up she can eat. It's sort of late anyway.
It's 8.
Yeah, that's late.
I guess.
His voice is flat. What is with you? I know this is uncomfortable and all, but you are being so weird, I say, as I put food on 2 plates without thinking.
Thanks,
he says, and grabs one before sitting down at the table. I grab a fork from the drawer and opt to stand at the counter to eat. Are you going to tell me?
Tell you what?
He grabs a forkful of chicken and digs in. Why you're being so quiet and nice. It's weird. He takes a moment to chew, then swallow before he answers.
I just don't want to say the wrong thing.
Oh, is all I can think to say. Well, that's not what I expected to hear. He turns the tables on me then.
So why are you being so nice and weird?
Because your mother is here, and what happened happened. There's nothing I can do to change it. I can't hold on to that anger forever. I lean against the counter on my elbow.
So what does that mean?
Nothing. I'm just saying that I want to be civil and not fight anymore. It doesn't change anything between us. I bite my cheek to keep my eyes from tearing up. Instead of saying anything, Harden stands up and throws his plate into the sink. The porcelain splits down the middle with a loud crack that causes me to jump. Harden doesn't flinch or even turn back around as he stalks off to the bedroom. I peer into the living room to make sure that his impulsive behavior hasn't woken up his mother. Fortunately, she's still asleep, her mouth slightly open in a way that makes her resemblance to her son all the stronger. As usual, I'm left to clean up the mess that Harden made. I load the dishwasher and put away the leftovers before wiping down the counter. I'm exhausted, mentally more than physically, but I need to take a shower and go to bed. But where the hell am I going to sleep? Hardin is in the bedroom and Trish is on the couch. Maybe I should just drive back to the motel. I turn the heat up a little and switch off the light in the living room. When I walk into the bedroom to get my pajamas, Hardin is sitting on the edge of the bed, his elbows on his knees and his head in his hands. He doesn't look up, so I grab a pair of shorts and a t-shirt and panties from my bag before exiting the room. As I hit the doorway, I hear what sounds like a muffled sob. Is Hardin crying? He isn't. He couldn't be. On the off chance that he is, I can't leave the room. I pad back to the bed and stand in front of him. Hardin, I say quietly, and try to remove his hands from his face. He resists, but I pull harder. Look at me, I beg. The breath is knocked out of me when he does. His eyes are bloodshot and his cheeks are soaked with tears. I try to take his hands in mine, but he jerks away.
Just go, Tessa,
he says. I've heard him say that too many times. No, I say, and kneel down between his opened legs. He wipes his eyes with the back of his hands.
This was a bad idea. I'm going to tell my mom in the morning.
You don't have to. I've seen him let out a few tears before, but never full-on, body-shaking, tears streaming down his face crying.
Yeah, I do. This is torture for me to have you so close, but so far. It's the worst possible punishment. Not that I don't deserve it, because I know I do. But it's too much,
he sobs.
Even for me.
He draws in a deep, desperate breath.
When you agreed to stay, I thought that maybe you still cared for me the way I do for you. But I see it, Tess. I see the way you look at me now. I see the pain I've caused. I see the change in you because of me. I know that I did this, but it still kills me to have you slip through my fingers.
The tears come much faster now, falling against his black t-shirt. I want to say something, anything, to make this stop, to make his pain go away. But where was he when I was crying myself to sleep night after night? You want me to go? I ask, and he nods. His rejection hurts, even now. I know I shouldn't be here. We shouldn't be doing this, but I need more. I need more time with him. Even dangerous, painful time is better than no time. I wish I didn't love him, that I had never met him. But I did, and I do love him. Okay. I swallow and stand up. His hand grips my wrist to stop me.
I'm sorry for everything, for hurting you, for everything,
he says, goodbye thick in his tone. As much as I resist this, I know deep down that I'm not ready for him to give up on me. On the other hand, I'm not ready to easily forgive him either. I've been in a constant state of confusion for days, but today takes the cake. I stop myself.
What?
I don't want to go, I say, so low that I'm not sure he even heard me.
What?
He asks again. I don't want to go. I know I should, but I don't want to. Not tonight, at least. I swear I can see the pieces of the broken man in front of me slowly come back together one by one. It's a beautiful sight, but terrifying deep in my soul, too.
What does this mean?
I don't know what it means, but I'm not ready to find out either, I say, hoping to be able to get at this feeling by talking about it. Hardin looks at me blankly, his earlier sobs nowhere to be found. Robotically, he wipes his face with his shirt and says,
Okay, you can sleep on the bed. I'll take the floor.
As he grabs two pillows and the throw blanket from the bed, my mind can't help but entertain the thought that maybe, just maybe, all those tears were for show. Still, somehow I know that they couldn't have been. Chapter 25. Tessa. Tucked like I am under our comforter, the thought that keeps going through my mind is that I never, ever would have thought I'd witness anything like that from Hardin. It was so raw, so vulnerable, as his body shook with tears. I feel like the dynamic between Hardin and me is constantly shifting, so that one of us is always gaining an upper hand over the other. Right now, I would be the one in control. but I don't want to be, and I don't like this dynamic. Love shouldn't be a battle. Besides, I don't trust myself to be in control of what happens between us. Up until a few hours ago, I had it all figured out. But now, after seeing him so shaken up, my mind is muddled and my thoughts clouded. Even in the darkness, I can feel Harden's eyes on me. When I let out the breath I realized I was holding, he quickly asks,
"Do you want me to turn the television on?"
"No. If you want to, you can, but I'm okay," I answer. I wish that I had grabbed my e-reader so I could read until I fell asleep. Maybe observing the ruination of Catherine and Heathcliff's lives would make mine seem easier, less traumatic. Catherine spent her whole life trying to fight her love for that man, on and off until the day she begged for his forgiveness and claimed she could not live without him, only to die hours later. I could live without Harden, couldn't I? I won't spend my entire life fighting this. This is only temporary, right? We won't bring ourselves and others misery because of our stubbornness and hard heads, right? I'm bothered by the uncertainty of this parallel, especially since it means I start comparing Trevor to Edgar. I don't know how to feel about this. It's awkward.
Tess,
my very own Heathcliff calls, wresting me away from my thoughts. Yeah, I croak.
I didn't fuck sleep with Molly,
he says, as if correcting his foul language makes the statement any less shocking. I stay silent, partly stunned by him talking about this, partly because I want to believe him, but I can't allow myself to forget that he's a master of deception.
I swear it,
he adds. Oh, well, if he swears it. Why did you say that then? I ask harshly.
To hurt you. I was just so mad because you said you kissed someone, so I just said the thing that I knew would hurt you the most.
I can't see Harden, but somehow I know that he's lying on his back, his arms crossed, hands under his head, staring at the ceiling.
Did you really kiss someone?
He asks before I can respond. Yeah, I admit. But when I hear the suction of a deep breath, I try to soften the blow by adding, only once.
Why?
His voice is cool yet heated. It's a strange sound. I honestly have no idea. I was mad because of how you were acting on the phone, and I had way too much to drink. So I danced with this guy, and he kissed me.
You danced with him? Danced how?
He asks. I roll my eyes at Harden's needing to know every detail of what I do, even when we aren't together. You don't want me to answer that. His words thicken the air between us.
Yes, I do.
Harden, we just danced like people do at a club. Then he kissed me and tried to get me to go home with him. I stare at the blades on the ceiling fan. I know that if we keep talking about this, they will eventually be forced to stop, unable to cut through the tension. I try to change the subject. Thank you for the e-reader. It was very thoughtful.
He tried to get you to go home with him? Did you?
I hear him shuffling, giving me an indication that he's now sitting up. I remain flat against the mattress. Do you even have to ask that? You know I would never do that, I snap.
Well, I never thought you would be kissing and dancing at a club either,
he barks. After a few beats of silence, I speak. I don't think you want to get started on the unexpected. The blankets shuffle again and I can feel him right next to me. That voice is right next to me.
Tell me. Please tell me that you didn't.
He sits down on the bed next to me and I move away from him. You know I didn't. I saw you later that night.
I needed to hear you say it.
His voice is harsh but pleading.
Say that you only kissed him once and you haven't spoken to him since.
I only kissed him once and I haven't spoken to him since, I repeat, only because I know he desperately needs to hear the words. I keep my eyes focused on the swirl of ink poking out from the low collar of his shirt. Having him on the bed soothes me and burns me all at once. I can't stand the internal battle I'm stuck in the middle of.
Is there anything else I should know?
He asks softly. No, I lie. I am not telling him about the date with Trevor. Nothing happened and it's none of Harden's business. I like Trevor, and I want to keep him safe from the time bomb that is Harden.
You sure?
Pardon? I don't really think you're in the position to be hounding me, I say, and look into his eyes. I can't help it.
I know,
he surprises me by saying. When he moves off of the bed, I try to ignore the emptiness that takes me over.
Chapter 26. Harden. Today has been hell. A hell that I welcomed with open arms, but hell all the same. I never expected to see Tessa when I came home from the airport. I had come up with a simple lie. My girlfriend wouldn't be available because she'd be out of town all week for Christmas. My mum had whined a little, but didn't ask too many questions or push my story. She'd been so thrilled, and surprised, really, that I had a woman in my life. I think her and my father both expected me to be alone my entire life. Then again, so did I. I find it amusing, in a twisted way, that I can't go a second without thinking of this girl, when up until 3 months ago I wanted to be alone. I never knew what I was missing. And now that I've found it, I can't let it go. It's only her, though. No matter what I do, I can't shake her. I tried to stop, tried to forget about her, tried to move on, and it was a disaster. The perfectly nice blonde that I took out Saturday night wasn't Tessa. No one would ever be. Sure, she looked like her, even dressed like her. She blushed when I cursed and seemed a little afraid of me throughout our dinner. She was nice enough, yeah, but she was boring. She was missing that fire that Tess has. She didn't scold me for my foul language. She didn't even say anything when I put my hand on her thigh in the middle of dinner. I knew she only agreed to go out with me to fulfill some fucked-up bad boy fantasy before church the next morning. But that's okay, because I was using her too. I was using her to fill the void of Tessa, to distract me from Tessa being in Seattle still with fucking Trevor. The guilt I felt when I moved in to kiss her was overwhelming. I pulled away, and the embarrassment was clear on her innocent face. I practically ran to my car, leaving her stranded at the restaurant. I sit up further and look at the sleeping girl that I am desperately in love with. Seeing her in our apartment with her clothes in the washer, the apartment clean, and even her toothbrush in the bathroom. It gave me a little bit of hope. But then again, you know what they say about hope. I'm still holding on to the sliver that exists, the small chance that she may forgive me. If she woke up now, she would surely scream at the sight of me standing over her as she sleeps. I know I need to take it down a few notches. I need to give her a little space. This behavior and these feelings are so exhausting, so overwhelming to me, and I have no fucking idea how to deal with them. But I will figure this out. I have to fix all of this. I push a loose strand of her soft hair from her face and force myself away from the bed, back to my pile of blankets on the concrete floor, where I belong. Maybe I'll be able to sleep tonight.
Chapter 27. Tessa. When I wake up, I'm momentarily confused by the brick ceiling above me. It's strange to wake up here after staying in hotels for the past week. When I climb out of bed, the floor is clear, with the blanket and pillows piled next to the closet. Grabbing my toiletry bag, I head to the bathroom. I hear Harden's voice from the living room.
She can't stay today, Mum. Her mother is expecting her.
Couldn't we have her mom come here? I would love to meet her, Trish responds. Oh, no.
No, her mother is not very fond of me,
he says.
Why not? She doesn't think I'm good enough for Tessa, I guess. And maybe because of how I look.
How you look? Harden, don't you ever let anyone make you feel insecure. I thought you loved your style.
I do. I mean, I don't give a shit what anyone thinks, except Tessa.
As my mouth falls open, Trish laughs. Who are you and where is my boy? Then, with real happiness in her voice, she says,
I can't even remember the last conversation we had where you didn't curse me out. It's been years. This is nice.
Okay, okay,
Harden groans, and I giggle while imagining Trish trying to hug him. After my shower, I decide to get myself all the way ready before leaving the bathroom. I'm a coward, I know, but I need a little more time before I put on a fake smile for Harden's mother. It's not exactly a fake smile, and that's part of the problem, my subconscious reminds me. I had a really nice time yesterday, and I slept better than I have all week. Once my hair is curled to near perfection, I pack my toiletries back into my small bag. There's a light tap on the door.
Tess?
Harden asks. I'm finished, I respond, and open the door to find him leaning against the door, wearing long gray cotton shorts and a white t-shirt.
Not to rush you or anything, but I really have to piss.
He gives me a small smile and I nod. I try not to notice the way his shorts hang on his hips, making the cursive writing that's inked onto his side even more visible under the white t-shirt. I'm going to get dressed, then be on my way, I tell him. He looks away, focusing on the wall.
Okay.
I go to the bedroom, feeling terribly guilty about lying to his mother and leaving so soon. I know she was so excited to meet me, and here I am leaving on her second day. Deciding on my white dress, I put on my old black tights underneath since it's too cold without them. I probably should just put on jeans and a sweatshirt, but I love that the dress gives me a strange sense of confidence, which is something that I need today. I pack my clothes back into my bags and place the hangers back in the closet. Do you need some help? Trish says from behind me. I jump, dropping the navy dress that I wore in Seattle. I was just... I fumble. Her eyes examine the half-empty closet.
How long are you planning on being at your mother's?
I'm a really terrible liar.
Looks like you're going to be gone for a while.
Yeah, I don't have many clothes, I squeak.
I was going to see if you wanted to do some shopping while I was here. Maybe if you come back before I leave, we can go.
I can't tell if she believes me or if she suspects that I don't ever plan on returning here.
Yeah, sure, I lie again.
Mum,
Harden says in a low voice as he enters the room. I notice his frown as his eyes take in the empty closet and hope that Trish isn't observing her son the way I am. Just finishing packing, I explain, and he nods. I zip the last bag and look at him, completely unsure what I should say.
I'll take your bags down for you,
he says, grabbing my keys from the dresser and disappearing with my things. As he leaves, Trish's arms wrap around my shoulders.
I'm so glad I got to meet you, Tessa. You have no idea what it means to me as a mother to see my only child this way.
What way? I manage to ask. Happy, she replies, and my eyes begin to sting. If this is happy Harden to her, I don't want to see her usual Harden. I say my final goodbye to Trish and prepare to leave the apartment for the last time.
Tessa?
Harden's mother says plainly. I turn around to face her once more.
You'll come back to him, won't you?
She asks, and my heart sinks. I get the feeling she means more than coming back after Christmas break. I don't trust my voice, so I just nod and quickly exit. When I reach the elevator, I turn around and head to the stairs to avoid seeing Harden. I wipe the corners of my eyes and take a deep breath before walking out into the snow. When I reach my car, I notice that the windshield has been cleared of snow and the engine is running. I decide not to call my mother to tell her that I'm on my way. I don't feel like talking to her right now. I want to use this 2-hour drive to try to clear my head. I need to make a mental list of the pros and cons of being with Harden again. I know how stupid I am for even entertaining the thought. He has done terrible things to me. He has lied to me, betrayed me, and humiliated me. So far on the cons list we have the lies, the sheets, the condom, the bet, his temper, his friends, Molly, his ego, his attitude, and him destroying my trust. On the pros list I have, well, I have the fact that I love him, that he makes me happy, makes me feel stronger, more confident, that he usually wants the best for me, unless, of course, he's the one doing the damage in his reckless way. The way he laughs and smiles, the way he holds me, the way he kisses me, the way he hugs me, the way I can tell he is changing for me. I know my pros list is full of small things, especially compared to the large negatives, but the small things are the most important, right? I can't decide if I'm completely insane for even thinking about forgiving him, or if I'm doing what love dictates. Which will guide me best in love, my feelings or my mind? As much as I try to fight it, I can't stay away from him. I never have been able to. This would be a good time to have a friend to talk to, a friend that has been in this type of situation before. I wish I could call Steph, but she lied to me the whole time too. I would call Landon, but he's already told me his opinion, and sometimes a woman's point of view is better, more relatable. The snow is thick and the wind is strong, nudging at my car on the deserted roads. I should have just stayed in the hotel. I have no idea what possessed me to come here. Still,